Hey, good morning. Good news. The individual who had a roll of $10,000 bills this morning on a rubber band, we found your rubber band, okay? Hey, Donna Herndon really liked that one, didn't she? All right. I could hear her laughing. How's everybody? Good. Good to see you. We've been gone a couple of weeks, so we've missed being here and missed being with you, so we're glad to be back. And if you're a guest, glad to be with you today as well. Glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us this morning. Good to be together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, I got to do something. Sorry. I'm just one of those guys. I got to move that. Okay, now we're ready to go. Okay, just can't have stuff out of symmetry behind me here. We got to do it right. All right, in the book of, let me start with a question. What could you do this week to make your marriage better? I'm not asking for you to respond. There are these things called rhetorical questions that I really don't anticipate getting any feedback on. What could you do this week to improve your marriage? I want you to think about that. Think about that. We'll come back to that here in just a minute. In Genesis, the book of beginnings, we read in chapter 2 and verse 24, this familiar verse that many of us here this morning have heard and have read and are familiar with quite well. God's original intent was for man to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, thus becoming one flesh. Something you and I need to remember is this: marriage is not something that we came up with. Marriage is not something that humans came up with. Marriage was designed by God and given to us, his creation, by him. And not just for the purpose of countering loneliness or populating the earth, but really, it's a mystery, Paul would say, as a visible means of illustrating the love that Jesus has for his bride, the church. Marriage is a God thing. And thus it is a good thing. And it is, as Scripture says, to be honored by all. But marriage has kind of come under a little bit of attack over the last 20 or 30 years or so. Marriage is no longer honored or esteemed as it once was by the majority of people in our country. A few years ago, Time Magazine and the Pew Research Center released a poll showing that nearly 4 in 10 Americans believe that biblical traditional marriage, that is marriage between one man and one woman, is obsolete. Obsolete. That poll is now actually about 10 years old. So I would venture to guess it's likely closer to 5 in 10 or higher. This, I think, is backed up anecdotally by the astronomical rise of the number of couples in our country who now choose to live together rather than get married. The 2010 census, the number of unmarried individuals living together in this country was around 15 million people. That was up a whopping 138% from the 1990 census. And it will likely be even higher when the 2020 census comes out, whenever it comes out, maybe later this year or next year, not sure when that's released. 2019, this is recent. A Pew Research Center found that 70% of Americans now believe cohabitation is acceptable, even if the couple has no plans to marry. That's a great change in perception towards some rather significant things at work in our culture. In an effort to turn the cultural tide back in favor of marriage, many efforts and organizations have been launched, not just in the U.S., but all across the globe, to try and address this shift that has occurred in the perception many have of marriage and its honorableness. One such effort was the brainchild of Richard and Maria Kane, who in 1996, living in England at the time, initiated a movement that has become known as National Marriage Week. The vision behind their movement was, this is a quote, to promote the benefits of healthy marriage to society, media, and governments, while seeking to educate and inform couples regarding the benefits of an ever-improving relationship, largely through churches and houses of worship. Since its beginning in England in 1996, National Marriage Week has been introduced in over 20 countries, including the United States of America, back in 2002. Since 2002, the second full week of February has been recognized in the U.S. as National Marriage Week. I don't know if you've ever, well, yes, you have heard of this because I've talked about this before. It's been a few years. But this is not the first time you've heard the expression National Marriage Week. It actually technically just ended yesterday, the second full week of February has been since 2002 National Marriage Week in this country. So, as part of that week, ministers all across the globe are encouraged to do two things, those who are willing to do this. Number one, encourage their members, remind their members of the truth that marriage is a God thing. And thus it's a good thing and it's honorable. A nation and a people who don't honor marriage the way God created and intended it is in trouble. And so, I encourage you, I encourage this group of believers gathered here on this Sunday morning in February to remember marriage is a God thing, and it's a good thing, and it is to be honored by all, especially by those of us who follow God and follow Jesus Christ. So that's one thing ministers are being encouraged to do in conjunction with this National Marriage Week, and that is to remind us that marriage is honorable and good. And the second thing is to lend our voices to encouraging and urging our members who are married to do whatever you can to strengthen your marriage. And so I have two objectives this morning. Two things I want to accomplish in the next 15 to 20 minutes. The first thing is I want to share with you three practical steps you can take this week in answer to the question I asked just a moment ago, what can you do this week to improve your marriage? I want to give you three answers to that question, okay? They're not the only three I could give you. It may not even be the best three that I could give you. It might not be the three you need to hear. There might be some others that would be better for you, but these are the three that the Spirit has given me for today. Now, some of you I know, because I can tell it on your face, but Charlie, I'm not married. So what am I going to get here for the next 15 or 20 minutes? Well, here's the thing. If you've got any significant relationship in your life, maybe it's with your grandkids, maybe it's with your grown kids, maybe it's with some good friends that form a nucleus of meaning in your life, maybe it's with the people sitting around you gathered in this room this very moment, significant relationships that you have, I think if you'll listen, you will find that all three of the principles I'm going to share this morning, specifically targeting married people, will also apply to many other significant relationships that you might be plugged into in your life. So whether you're married or not, I think I've got something that will help you this week make your relationships better. Okay? So nobody gets to just check out, all right? Put your phone down. I've still got something to say to you. So hang with me, stay with me. I think you will find, whether you're married or not this morning, the principles we're going to talk about, I think you'll find some application to them in other relationships in your life in addition to marriage. But I do want to talk specifically to those of us who are married or who may be in a relationship that's headed in that direction, okay? So that's my primary target audience this morning. If you're outside of that audience, you're going to have to work a little bit harder to take what I'm going to say and apply it to your life, but I think you can do it if you try. Okay, here we go. Three practical steps you can take this week that will make your marriage or your significant relationships with others better. Number one, there we go. Yay. All right. Here we go. Number one, cherish your spouse or your significant others, whoever they may be, your friends, whatever it may be. Build a cherishing environment in your relationship. In a really good book, in fact, we've used this as a textbook here. It's been a few years. Some of you went through this together with me. You might remember it. Hope you do. Called Stay Married for Life. The authors of this book, Dan Seaborn and Peter Newhouse, make the point that everybody has something in their life that they really cherish. Something in their life that they really value. Maybe it's an heirloom, a family heirloom that has been in your family for generations. Might not be worth a lot of money, but it's got sentimental value to it because it's been handed down from generation to generation. Maybe it's a very special gift that someone gave you years ago. Again, may not be worth a lot of money, but it means it's important to you. It's valuable to you because of the emotions and the sentiment that's attached to it. In their book, one of the authors, Dan Seaborn, has a basketball that was signed by Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Shaquille O'Neal. Now, that may mean nothing to some of you. You might not even recognize any of those names, but to those of you who know anything about professional basketball, you know those are four of the greatest professional basketball players to have ever stepped on a court. And he's got a basketball signed by all four of those men. And he makes the point that when he goes out to play a pickup game of basketball with his buddies, he doesn't take that basketball with him outside. That basketball is encased in a glass case that stays on his shelf in his house because he values particularly the names that are on that basketball. And he doesn't want to degrade it or to ruin it in any way. It carries a lot of value to him. So after giving that illustration, they then asked the question in the book, how much do you cherish your marriage? How much do you cherish your spouse? Now, to those of us who are married, that's a really big question. That's a really good question. How much do you value, for many of you, the person sitting right next to you? How much does that relationship mean to you? Outside of your relationship with Jesus Christ, that ought to be the most important, the most valuable relationship in your life. Outside of your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're married, your spouse, whether it is your wife or your husband, that ought to be the most valuable possession you own. And so, build a cherishing environment in your relationship. Build that person up. Value that individual. Because outside of your relationship with Jesus, there is no more important person in your life than your wife or your husband. And oftentimes the way we build a cherishing environment is through our language and through our actions, right? Language, as we say, creates culture. And so how we talk to our spouse goes a long way in developing and creating a cherishing environment in our relationship. Ephesians 4:29, three verses I'm going to share with you this morning from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is suitable for building others up. Could there be a more important place for that principle to be carried out than in our relationship with our significant other? There are many places where that principle can be practiced. It can be practiced right here as we build a cherishing environment here among the relationships that we have with each other here. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building each other up. The conversations that take place in the hallways and in the classrooms and in the conversations that occur in this building when we're together ought to be the kind of conversations that build others up, not tear them down. But that's also true, multiplied even more, in the home. Husbands, boyfriends, how do you speak to your wife? How do you speak to your significant other? How do you talk to them? Do you build them up? Do you tear them down? Wives, how are you speaking to and about your husbands in the presence of others? Are you building them up or are you tearing them down? Create a cherishing environment in your home. I'm spending a little bit longer on this one. Some of you are already worried. Man, if he takes this much time on all three, we're going to be here all day. That's all right. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one, and we'll blitz through the last two. I want to read this with, I think this is really good, about creating a cherishing environment. Here, listen closely. Cherishing is a frame of reference, a lens we use to color the things and people in our lives. It isn't a behavior as much as it's a perception, a way of seeing, a mindset, an attitude. Having a cherishing attitude means I value my spouse regardless of the way I feel and regardless of the mood he or she is currently in. A cherishing attitude gives value regardless of what happened yesterday, last month, last year, or even 15 years ago. It means I treat my spouse as a person of value regardless of his or her mannerisms, traits, quirks, annoying habits, hang-ups, idiosyncrasies, inconsistencies, failures, extra pounds, garlic breath, onion breath, or bed head. Some of you without hair don't have to worry about that bedhead stuff anymore, do you? You see, cherishing doesn't depend on personality traits, and it isn't the result of a good mood. It isn't something you do when you feel like it. It doesn't happen only when there's money in the bank, only when you feel successful, only when you're happy, or only when you feel cherished yourself. It isn't something you do to get sex or only after sex. If you think those things are cherishing, you're missing the whole point. Here's the thing. Cherishing isn't something my spouse has to earn. It is something I have to learn. That's good. Cherishing isn't something my spouse has to earn. It's something I need to learn. That's good stuff. So, a very practical step we can take this week that will strengthen our marriage, that will strengthen the relationships we have with significant others. For those of you who aren't married, I think there's still much way this can apply in your life as well. Create a cherishing atmosphere in your home, in your relationships with others. An atmosphere where your spouse, where your children, where your grandchildren, where your friends, where your brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it may be, know how much they mean to you. And how significant that relationship is to you in your life. So, challenge number one. I'm going to give you three challenges today. This is the first one. Speak words of encouragement to each other this week. You got 7 days of opportunity to put this into practice in your marriage or in whatever relationship you want to try to apply it to this morning. Speak words of encouragement to the significant other people in your life this coming week. Build them up rather than tear them down. Number two, we'll move more quickly now. Number two, second principle you can do. Spend meaningful time together. In their book, Seaborn and Newhouse write, "It's a wonder that anybody in America has time to spend with a friend, let alone a spouse. Between checking emails, updating our Facebook page, sending and receiving texts and Twitters, tweets, answering cell phones, going to work, driving kids back and forth to sporting events, doctor's visits, shopping for groceries, eating meals, and the like, how does anyone ever find the time to be together? It's exhausting to simply think about it, let alone try and actually do it. But if you want your marriage to thrive to any extent, you have to spend meaningful time together. You have to make time for each other a priority." Ephesians 5:16, Paul says, "Make the most of your time, for the days are evil." Again, where could that be more important than in a relationship between a husband and wife? Make the most of the time that you have to be together. And here's the thing, men. I think it, mainly to men, I don't want to be picking on guys, but I think we're more prone for this than the women are. We can be in a room physically, and we'd be 100 miles away mentally and emotionally. Is that just me? Now, that rhetorical question, I wouldn't mind an answer. Is that just me? No. I don't think so. Women, I don't know. I can't know how you work, right? I can see how you work, but I don't know it. But I know this is my thing. I know it's typically a guy thing. I can be sitting next to Dana, in a room, but I might be 100 miles away emotionally and mentally. So it's not just being close proximity that I'm talking about here. It's actually being present. Spending time is not just being in the car together. It's not just sitting in the same room in the same house together. It's actually being with that person and actually engaged with that. That's what I'm talking about. It's not just being in the same place, but maybe being in the same space and spending time with that person. And again, I think this has application in other places as well. So think about what that would look like in other places if you're not married. Spend meaningful time together. Make the most of your time. So challenge number two, make time for each other this week. If possible, maybe go on a date. I know some of you have been married a long time, but you remember what that was like, don't you, right? Go to a movie maybe, go out to eat, maybe put on some cologne or put on something that looks nice, put some deodorant on, brush your teeth, clean underwear, always a good thing to do. Go on a date, go out to eat, go watch a movie, go do something you enjoy doing, spend some time. But look, I know not everybody can do that. Maybe you got kids, it's just not financially feasible, maybe you can't swing it, that's okay. Put the kids down, maybe watch a show together on TV, or pull out a photo album, look at some old photos of your marriage, or maybe a vacation you took recently, or something. Listen to a podcast, listen to some music, just spend some time together. Do something that builds that relationship in a positive way. Number three, last one, build spiritual fusion in your relationship. Imagine in your mind, or if you can see what I'm making here, a triangle with a husband and wife down here on the bottom. But here's the thing, as you move closer to God, that pinnacle, you're also moving closer to each other, right? So the more a husband and a wife align their lives with the will of God, the closer they get to each other, right? The more I align my life with the will of God, the more my wife aligns her life with the will of God, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. And so, challenge number three, do whatever you have to do this week to build spiritual fusion in your relationship. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. If nothing else, if you're not already doing it, start praying for each other this week. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Maybe if you're not in the habit of doing it, maybe say a prayer with each other before the meal. Look for do something you're not currently doing that will help even more align your life with the will of God. And as you grow closer to God, you'll also be growing closer to each other. So if you're not in a Bible study with other couples, why not do that? Go as a couple and get plugged into one of the Bible studies that we offer here in the university family. Or if you're not in a life group, why not visit a life group together as a couple? Get plugged into a life group as a couple. Get to know some other couples who also want to know the Lord better and help build that spiritual fusion in your relationship. Get involved in a ministry together. Serve at the soup kitchen together, or do something here in the church with one of the many ministries that we offer together. Serve the Lord together. Do something that brings spiritual fusion into your relationship and helps the two of you grow closer to God. And as you grow closer to God, you're also going to grow closer to each other. So do some things spiritually together. And again, I think you can find application for this in many other relationships as well. The more you serve and do with other people and you're growing closer to God, you're also growing closer to each other. So three very simple things you can do this week that could have great benefit and blessing upon your relationship, your marriage, or whatever other relationship you may be thinking about this morning. Build spiritual fusion. Cherish your spouse daily. Thank you, Danny. And spend meaningful time together. All right, I also said I wanted to do one other thing this morning, and that is to give you a resource that I think if you're married, whether you've been married 1 year or 50 years or more, or whether maybe you're just dating, but you're kind of moving in that direction. Maybe one day you hope to be married, and you're thinking maybe you're dating that person, and maybe this is where that is heading. Here's a resource that I want to challenge you to look up and make use of. You can see it there on the screen behind me. If you're on your app this morning, you can hit that empty space there, and this will pop up right there for you, so you don't have to worry about writing it down. You can take a picture of it if you want to. It's www.prepare-enrich.com. I've actually got it pulled up on my phone right now. You can pull it up. They got a mobile site. And up at the top, you see those little four bars. You can hit those four bars, and it'll pull up several items you can hit, and one of them is called Couples. And if you'll hit Couples, it'll open up a number of other links that you can go to, and one of them is called Couple Resources. And under that Couple Resources, it'll pop up an email that you can sign up for. It'll send you tips. It'll send you books. It'll send you information, ideas, things that you can do that will help you grow your relationship each week. It'll be an email you receive in your box with ideas and tips and things like that for a better marriage. And there's also an assessment that you can take that'll help identify your strengths and your growth areas as a couple. Whether you're married or dating, you can do this. It'll cost a little bit, about the price of a good meal, if you were to go out and eat somewhere nice, about $35-$40, so it's not free. But you can take that online, and it'll give you a wealth of information that'll help you know what your strengths are as a couple, maybe where your growth areas are. And here's the thing. You can also do that with other couples. And so here's what I'm offering to you today. I'm going to be in the Welcome Center after we're through. If you are married or thinking about one day possibly being married, you're in a dating relationship, and you want to do this couple assessment together with some other couples, because there's really great benefit in doing it with other couples, I'd be interested in you coming to me and saying, hey, I'd like to do that. And here's what we'll do. Maybe later this year, we'll all get together, take this assessment, and then we'll work together through it with each other as a group of married people or individuals who one day want to be married. So just come see me. We'll talk about it. I'll get your name, and there may be at some point later this year we can do a class, we can do a retreat, we can do something that will help even strengthen our marriages even more and get us ready perhaps to have a happy, healthy marriage. I'll be in the back. You can come see me. So, marriage, again, as God designed it, is good. And it should be honored by all. One last thing I want to do. If you've been married for less than a year, would you stand? We got anybody that's less than a year? All right, right here. We got Mark's wife's not with him, but we're going to trust him. Seem to be predominantly on this side here, less than a month, right? Newlyweds, all right. If you've been married more than 50 years, would you stand? If you're somewhere in between the newlyweds and those that have been married well over 50 years, would you please stand? That's going to be most of us. It is okay to be single. I need to preach on that. And in some instances, that's what God may actually even be calling you to. So we do not want anybody to feel like because you're not standing, you're a second-class Christian. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Can I say it any stronger? If you're not married, we're glad you're here. And you don't have to be like any of us to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? But at the same time, if you're married, that's an honorable and good thing. God bless you in your marriage. All right, let's all stand. Go ahead, everybody stand up. We're done. Find somebody next to you and lay a hand on them and bless them this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let's sing.